God, hero of heaven, we thank you that we can come in this place and worship you this morning. We thank you that you are here with us. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit will come and be present with each of us this morning. Lord, we want to encounter you. We want to be changed by you. We want to worship you and celebrate with you. We ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Today's reading is Galatians 5, verses 1, and then 12 to 26. Freedom in Christ. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. So I'd love to speak to you about our reading this morning. Paul loves a bit of punchy theology, doesn't he? It's not easy to get your head around this one. So this is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Galatia. It's one of Paul's earliest letters, and this church are having problems. They've had some really strict Jews come in and say to them, no, these are the rules you need to follow. This is what you need to do to be holy. You can't follow God unless you do this, this, and this. And Paul is writing in response to what he's heard is going on here. He's not happy about this. And this letter is his response to hearing about what is going on at this church in Galatia. And a big theme throughout this letter, and especially this bit that we're going to be looking at today, is freedom. I wonder what freedom means to you. I wonder what pops into your mind when you hear the word freedom. Perhaps it's the song by Wham, or I think there's one by Pharrell Williams as well. Or perhaps it might be a bit deeper than that. Freedom might mean for you, it might mean having control over your life and your choices. Freedom might mean freedom of speech, might mean liberation. So I went to our trusty friend Google to see what Google had to say about freedom. And Google gave me two definitions. The first is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants. And the second definition is the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. Fair enough, that's probably what most of us think. I think there are three. I'm going to give you an additional definition of freedom this morning. So we've got the first one, which is freedom of choice, which is free agency, the ability to choose. It's where you have the choice to choose between McDonald's for breakfast or Burger King for breakfast. Or the choice between, do I go on holiday to France or do I go on holiday to Germany? Freedom of choice. The second definition is freedom from. So that's liberation from something, being released. It might be freedom from oppression. It might be a physical captivity. Imagine if you release a bird from a cage, it has freedom. It might be freedom from an addiction or something like that. If any of you have seen Aladdin, you'll know that Genie has these chains on his wrist and he can't escape the lamp and he has to be set free. And at the end of the film, Aladdin wishes Genie free and his chains break off. He's free from the lamp, goes to do what he wants. But the third freedom that I want to share with you this morning is a freedom that encompasses those two definitions. But I think it adds something else as well. It brings a bit more. And that's a Christian freedom. And I think that's the freedom that comes from living and existing in accordance with the will of God. It's a freedom that comes with obedience. And I think as well as the other two, that is the main type of freedom that Paul is writing about in this letter to the church in Galatia. It's a freedom that only Christ can bring. So we heard at the beginning of the scripture reading, if you want to follow along, it's Galatians 5 on the church Bibles. I think it's about page 236 or 37. So if you want to follow along, it might just help you to see where we're going with this. So Galatians 5 verse 1, and then it jumps to verse 13. It says this: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free." That's God's intention for us, for his children, to be free. He doesn't want us to be burdened. He wants us to be free. So think back to the context that we heard a bit about at the beginning. And there's people telling this church that they need to follow certain rules. And I meet some people who think that being a Christian, that following Jesus, is really restrictive. They think, oh no, you've got to do this, do that, obey this rule, keep this command. But Christianity isn't about following a set of rules. Think about the context of this letter. The Jewish people, they were bound by this law that they thought they had to keep in order to be good enough for God. They thought if they kept enough of these rules, enough of these laws, they could draw closer to God. But these laws are impossible to keep. Who on earth is going to be good enough for God in our own strength? I know that I wouldn't be able to keep those laws. But what we are given through Christ is this new type of freedom. Verse 18 of that chapter says this: "If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So then that's freedom from the law. If we're following Jesus, we're not bound by this law. Christ sets us free from that. What a relief that we don't have to keep to those rules. But Paul gives a warning as well. And he says in verse 13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh." So this is Paul saying that freedom is not to be used with the intention of sinning. Freedom is not living how we please because God will forgive us anyway. You know, it's no good us just walking around going, "Great, God is amazing, God has to forgive me, so I'm just going to do as I want." This is what Paul is warning it against. And he writes in the book of Romans chapter 6, "Should we go on sinning so that God's grace can increase in us?" And he follows that sentence with, "By no means." He's saying, absolutely not, no way, that is not the way to do this. That's not the way that God wants you to live. We're not to use this freedom from the law as an excuse to live in a way that indulges our sinful nature. But he carries on in verse 13. So it says, "Don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another in love." But then that starts sounding a bit like rules. And I thought that Paul had been saying that we're free from the law, that we don't have to obey these rules. What does that freedom mean if we're being given more things to obey? But I think that's where the topsy-turvy kingdom of God comes in. It flips everything that we know to be true on its head. And Christian freedom is this freedom to live in accordance with the will of God. It's freedom to keep the law, knowing that we will never, ever live up to God's standards, but that God's grace fills those gaps for us. In verse 14, Paul writes that the entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbour as yourself. We know that Jesus tells us that the greatest commandments are to love God and to love other people. This is the law that God wants for us. God wants us to live in love with each other. And through Christ, we can keep those commands to love God and to love people. Following Jesus isn't about keeping the law. It's not about following a set of rules. If it was, it wouldn't work, because there's not a single person in here, outside of the church, across the whole world, that would ever be good enough to fulfill that law. Doing good things and trying to satisfy the law, following enough rules, won't make God love us anymore, won't make God like us anymore. Won't add to what Jesus has already done on the cross. That's already been done. There's nothing we can do to add to that. We've got absolutely nothing to offer. So through Jesus, who gives his spirit to help us, we are now free to keep that law. So if we don't keep the law, as in we don't do what God wants for us, that's when we become slaves to the flesh. We become slaves to our own desires. And that's not what God wants for us. We're not really free at all. But if we choose to obey, then we're free to live through Jesus. And when we choose not to obey, we forego that freedom. And then we're held captive by our own sin. I suppose it's a bit like, it's not a perfect analogy, but if someone is in prison, they're held captive by being in prison, and you're released, and you're free to live in love, free to live under the law of the land. But if you break those laws, then you're straight back in prison. You're held captive again. Your freedom is gone. Or a bit like if you're grounded. I don't know if anyone was ever grounded as a child. I was a few times. You wouldn't believe it, would you? But you lose that freedom. You break those boundaries that are put in place and you lose that freedom. You're free to live as long as you're living in love and obeying the restrictions that are put in place. It's not a perfect analogy, but it gives you a bit of an idea of where this is going. When we become a Christian, Jesus frees us from our sin so that we can do good. But when we sin, we're then held captive by those wrong things that we're doing. If we were bound by the law, we're bound by this need to keep striving and keep doing better and keep being good enough. But through Christ, we're now free to keep this law because we know we can't fulfill it. So we have to trust in God's grace. Do you see the subtle difference there? It's really hard to get your head around. This is not an easy passage from Paul this morning. But God's grace is so crazy and goes places that we can't imagine. It's so hard to comprehend. It doesn't make sense to us. And this is where the kingdom of God is really amazing and is upside down and does things that we just don't expect. So we don't obey these laws in order to be accepted by God. That's not why we're obeying. But we obey in response to the fact that God has already accepted us. Our good works aren't the basis of God's love for us. But we obey in response to knowing that God loves us. Verse 13 and to 15, just to summarize that, Paul is basically saying that true freedom is being free from sin to serve one another in love. True freedom is being free from sin to serve in love. And that's a bit about what this upside down kingdom of God is all about. So then Paul goes on with this letter. And just in case it's not clear enough, because I don't know about you, but this took me a while to get my head around. So the church in Galatia must have struggled as well. He tries to make this a bit clearer. And Paul lists what a life captive to sin and the flesh looks like. And then he lists what a life lived in the spirit looks like. And there's a striking contrast between the outcomes of living by the flesh and living by the spirit. If you've got a Bible open, just have a look at those two lists. The first list, acts of sinful nature, starts at verse 19. And it includes things like jealousy, fits of rage, drunkenness. And then verse 22 is where Paul lists the fruit of the spirit. And that's things like kindness, peace, joy, love. Which one sounds more like being free to you? Those acts of sinful nature make us slaves to sin, but the fruit of the Spirit come as a result of the freedom that we can live in. And these two are in conflict together. Jesus says you can only serve one master. You can't serve a sinful nature and you can't serve the Spirit at the same time. It's one or the other. And when you let the flesh win and the fruit of the Spirit isn't forthcoming, in that moment we lose the freedom that God has given us. We're being controlled and held captive by the flesh in that moment. Sometimes I have a bit of a temper on me. And in that moment where I let that anger overcome me, I'm being controlled by the flesh in that moment. I'm not letting the Spirit work through me. You know, one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. When I get cross, I'm definitely not producing patience. There's no patience in me. It's just anger, and I'm controlled by that. And I lose that freedom that God has given me. We all of us, no one is exempt, we all slip into sin. But the hope here is that we can all step back into freedom. We all slip into sin, but we can all step back into freedom. So how can we grow in this freedom? Well, verse 16, Paul says, live by the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of sinful nature. He doesn't say, try really hard to live in a really good way and then the Spirit will come to you. Start by living in the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit will come. I don't know if anyone here gardens. You can correct me if I say this wrong later, if anyone's an expert gardener in here. But imagine if you wanted to grow some strawberries. So I'd take my strawberry plant, plant it in the ground. I think I'd give it some water, maybe some food. I'd be attentive to it. I might move it into the sun if it needed a bit more sun. I might chop away some bad bits if I see some leaves starting to die. And then eventually the fruit will start to come. The strawberries will start to come. So it's like that if we're nurturing a life by the Spirit. We need to pray. We need to ask to be filled with the Spirit. We need to worship always in everything we do. Here at St. Augustine's, we have groups called Connect Groups, who are people that you can journey with, who can pray for you, who can keep you accountable. Join a prayer triplet. Don't give those fleshly desires a chance to take root. Just keep in step with the Spirit. Keep living with the Spirit. And in John 15, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't live in step with the Spirit apart from Jesus. Freedom is led by the Spirit. It's not driven by the flesh. And we can trust that the Holy Spirit will never lead us into a way of sin. And we don't need to doubt that freedom that God gives us either. John chapter 8, verse 36 reads this. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You will be free. And we know that we are set free from having to keep the law as a means of earning our salvation because Jesus has already bought our salvation. Through the cross, we've died to sin and are set free by the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Take hold of that. Perhaps this morning you're striving to be good enough. You're striving to keep those laws, to obey those commands. You're worried you're not doing good enough. I want to say to you this morning that God's grace is enough for you. You don't have to strive anymore. Perhaps you're living how you please, knowing that God's grace will make up the difference. Abusing that freedom that God so graciously gives us. Or perhaps this morning you're held captive by something and you really want that freedom that a life in the Spirit can offer. Perhaps even you're sitting here feeling guilty for doing one of those things. God can set you free from that as well. Verse 24 reads, "If you belong to Jesus, you can crucify the desires of the flesh. You can die to sin. You can have that freedom in Christ. And you can have that freedom this morning." I'd love to pray for us just as we finish. Loving God, thank you that you give us freedom. Thank you that we don't have to try and be good enough. Thank you that your grace is enough for us. And Lord, I pray this morning that anyone here in this room who feels captive, Lord, I just pray that you'll release them this morning. Pray that they will experience freedom in you. And perhaps just with your eyes closed this morning, if you felt God speak to you, if you're struggling with being captive by something, if you want to be set free, can I ask you to be really bold and just raise a hand if God is working in you this morning? Thank you. If that's you this morning, don't leave here without being prayed for. We have a prayer ministry team who will be down the front at the end of the service, and they would love to speak more with you about this. I'd love to pray that freedom over your life. And I pray that each person here will walk out of this church this morning in a new freedom, living life in step with the Spirit. Amen.
Let's take a moment this morning to reflect on what Amy said and just lift up our hearts in prayer this morning. We're going to base our prayers on the word freedom, and there'll be a response after each short prayer that will be on the screen. So let's pray. F is for firm. Dear God, thank you that you are our firm foundation on which we stand and rely on. Thank you that you are always with us, no matter where our life journey takes us. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. R is for release. Dear God, release us from selfish, sinful desires which damage and destroy our relationship with you and those around us. We are sorry for the hurt they have caused you and those we love. Thank you that you forgive us. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. E is for equip. Dear God, equip us with the fruits of your Spirit to love one another, to bring joy to others, to be your peacemakers, to carry out acts of kindness, to be good to everyone, to be faithful to you, to act with gentleness, and to have self-control in all situations. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. E is for encourage. Dear God, help us to be encouragers so that others would see your love through us. Help us to build one another up in love so that we bring honour to you and unity in our families, communities, and here in our church. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. D is for discern.
Dear God, give us a wise and discerning heart to know the path you have for us. Guide us as we advertise for the new vicar for this church, and help us to discern the person that you have chosen to lead us into a new season here at St. Augustine's. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. O is for openness. Dear God, open our eyes and our hearts to the suffering and sadness in this world. Help us to make the difference in someone's life, to be your servants, bringing your light to dark places and bringing your hope to the hopeless. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. M is for more. Thank you, God, that you are more than enough. You set us free from old laws and selfish desires and teach us to move forward in love. You gave us your Son, Jesus Christ, to free us from the punishment of our sinful ways towards you. You teach us how to freely live by your Holy Spirit and how to embrace all the gifts that you give us. You give us more than we ever deserve, more than we could ever imagine, and best of all, there is more to come. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're now going to pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.